May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 699. Lord, we adore thee, and would fain express thy matchless goodness and our worthlessness. Ashamed of self, we prostrate at thy door, confess our sin, and thy free grace implore. Hymn 699.
Let us read together from the Holy Word of God, part of Isaiah chapter 34 and chapter 35. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 34, we'll commence reading at verse 16 and we'll read to the end of chapter 35. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. And he hath cast the lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it for ever, from generation to generation shall they dwell therein. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word and grant to us a spirit of real prayer. Almighty, most merciful and eternal God of heaven, look down from heaven thy holy dwelling place upon us, and help us to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Help us to come to thee in all our need as poor sinners, poor helpless sinners, poor hopeless sinners, poor needy sinners. For Lord, that is what we are, and that is where we are found by nature. And the hymn writer declares, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. Lord, we come to thee in the name of Jesus Christ. This is the name the Father loves to hear his children plead. We plead what he has done. We have to say, O Lord, I am all unrighteousness, from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. There is no soundness in my flesh. We cannot throw stones at any. For Lord, we have a heart which is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. And Lord, we seem to feel it more and more, that deep corruption and sin of the heart and of our nature. But Lord, though we cannot come in our own name, in our own person, and yet thy word declares faithfully unto us, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Oh, we come then, pleading that precious ransom that he has paid, the redeeming love and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. For this, O Lord, is our only hope, and this is all our desire. And as we come together, we trust the hearers and the preacher. We desire to know nothing among men save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, that we might know that in its living power, experienced in our heart, applied by the Holy Ghost, the sacred wonders of the atonement, the precious blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, most gracious Lord, we pray this evening hour, as we gather round thy word, we may feel the power and the efficacy of that precious blood to cleanse us from all our sin and from all our unrighteousnesses. Oh Lord, we do beseech them. We pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit may rest and abide upon us. Lord, there is nothing without thee, no spirit, no power, no life. Without thy heavenly power, O Lord, no sweets the gospel can afford. No drops of heavenly love will fall. Oh, that we might know that heavenly power of the divine spirit in our hearts. Oh, we pray that it may be known in the pulpit and in the pew, the application of the word of truth to our souls. Truly, most blessed Spirit, convince us of our sin and lead to Jesus' blood, and to our wandering eyes reveal the secret love of God. Oh, that may be our blessed portion this evening hour, that secret love of God in Jesus Christ. We pray that we may experience in our souls this night that precious word, for God hath sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, that we may know that we have a heavenly Father, who sent his only begotten Son, who loved us with an everlasting love, who drew us with the cords of a man, for none come except the Father draw. Oh, to feel those sweet drawings of a heavenly Father this evening hour, we do humbly beseech of thee. We read that, Lord Jesus, when thou wast here upon earth and thy disciples were turned aside and the doors being shut and locked, and Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, Peace be unto you. Lord, what an unspeakable favour, if that could be so this evening hour, that thou, Lord Jesus, wouldst come and stand in our midst, that we may behold thy glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, that we may touch the hem of thy garment and draw from that sacred fullness that is in him. Oh, for thy great name's sake, and that we may hear the voice of a gracious Father This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, that we could feel and know and experience these precious sacred doctrines of truth in our heart, that they may be sealed into our soul, that we may be led of the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Lord, we seek thy richest blessing upon this church and this congregation. We seek thy blessing upon our brethren, the deacons. Grace, wisdom, and help may be given to them in all their responsibilities in the sanctuary, and that they may be enabled to cast their cares upon thee and to watch unto prayer. That we pray, most gracious Lord, thy blessing upon each of our brethren and sisters in Christ, that thou wouldst graciously bless them and help them and sustain them and strengthen them, and bind them together in the sacred bonds of Christian love, union and communion, and that we each may be found endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We pray to be delivered from the temptations of the wicked one, from the power and the dominion of sin. Oh, do hear us, O Lord. We seek to be made more spiritually minded, and our affections set upon things above. We pray, dear Lord, thy blessing to rest upon the whole of this congregation, from the youngest to the eldest, that thou wouldst bless them with thy rich grace, that thou wouldst bring them to living faith in Jesus Christ. We pray for any that have wandered away from wisdom's way, that thou wouldst stretch out thy almighty arm and cause them to be in want and to return unto the sanctuary. Oh, we pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst graciously bless the little ones and the children as they're brought into the sanctuary, and guide and direct parents to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Any that are sick among them, we pray that thou wouldst be Jehovah Rophi. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And we seek, most gracious Lord, that thou in thy precious mercy wouldst bless the dear young friends as they stand upon the threshold of life's journey. Graciously help them. Help them to cast all their cares upon thee. Help them to seek thee early. For they that seek thee early shall find thee. Help them to remember their Creator in the days of their youth, while the evil days come not. Lord, bring them to the feet of Jesus, to know thee and to serve thee and to follow thee in their day and in their generation. O Lord, we do beseech thee. We seek that thou wouldst guide them in all the matters of providence. We would remember that those expecting to be married, and we would lovingly commend them to thee and to the word of thy grace, which is able to build them up and to grant them an inheritance among them that are sanctified. So bless them, Lord, we do beseech thee. We pray, dear Lord, that thou in thy precious mercy would remember each and every one in the midst of the journey of life and all its various trials and troubles and temptations. We pray that thou in thy precious mercy would draw us nearer to thyself. Grant, dear Lord, that grace to follow thee and serve thee in our day and in our generation. While our days on earth are lengthened, may we give them, Lord, to thee, cheered by hope and daily strengthened. As thou not said in thy word, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye might know what that good and perfect and acceptable will of the Lord is. Lord, we do seek that thou in thy precious mercy would remember those in old age and its attendant weaknesses and infirmities, and strengthen and help them. We pray that thou wouldst be with thy servants as they come in and out among this people, that they may dip their foot in oil, that they may be made acceptable unto the brethren. And we pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst grant them a living, settled ministry, one of thy servants to come in and out among them and to feed them with knowledge and with understanding. We seek, O Lord, thy blessing upon each and every one of thy labouring servants as they labour upon the walls of Zion. Help them and strengthen them, uphold them by thy good spirit. Grant them, and thus saith the Lord, grant signs to follow the preaching of the word. We truly live in dark and solemn days when there is a great falling away. Oh, that thou wouldst remember thy Zion. Remember thy people everywhere. Remember thy servants everywhere. And we pray thee, the great Lord of the harvest, to send true labourers into the harvest. O Lord, we do thank thee. Thank thee for the house of prayer. Thank thee for the liberties that we enjoy in being able to meet together round thy word. We thank thee for thy word. This is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. And we thank thee, most gracious Lord, for the glory of Christ, for the wonders of redeeming love. We thank thee for the incarnation of the Son of God, something, Lord, we have been specially remembering these past days, that wonderful glory of the incarnation of the Son of God, the Word made flesh. Lord, we thank thee for the holy, sinless life he lived, and fulfilled the holy law of God on the behalf of his people, and brought in everlasting righteousness. We thank thee for the holy sacrifice of the cross, where sin has been put away, and divine justice has been satisfied, and God and sinners are reconciled, and peace is made betwixt God and man. O Lord, we do bless thee for the wonderful glory of the cross, of the precious blood of the Lamb, of a Saviour that died to rise again and to swallow up death in victory. We thank thee for a living Saviour who has ascended into heaven, who sitteth at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Oh, we bless thee that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Lord, we look back this last service here in this year. Oh Lord, we do desire to thank thee for every mercy and every favour. And Lord, as we, if it is thy will, go forth into the coming year, we pray that thou wouldst cause thy goodness to pass before us in the way. Come now, Lord, and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. We ask all for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 356. Does the gospel word proclaim rest for those who weary be? Then my soul put in thy claim, sure that promise speaks to thee. Marks of grace I cannot show, all polluted is my breast. Yet I weary am, I know, and the weary long for rest. Hymn 356.
Greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your attention to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 34, reading verses 16 and 17 for our text. Isaiah 34, verses 16 and 17. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them, and he hath cast the lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever, from generation to generation, shall they dwell therein. These precious words of grace, of promise, are connected to the following chapter, which we read together. It goes on, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It's the same people that we have in our text. That his spirit hath gathered them. But we have a word of direction that is given to us. And that is, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his teachings, he said, search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. This blessed book, the Holy Word of God, is a divinely inspired volume. It was given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable. If we need direction, if we need leading, if we need guidance, then this word that is before us is very relevant. Seek ye out the book of the Lord. How we need to be clear, my beloved friends, if we are truly seeking the divine leading of the Spirit of God, we can be absolutely sure of this, that the Spirit of God will never ever lead us contrary to the Word of God. The Spirit of God, he led and guided and inspired. It's a very strong word. Holy men of old were inspired by the Spirit of God to write this blessed volume. I have heard some say, and don't misunderstand me, I greatly value our hymn book, but I've actually heard some say that the hymn book is inspired. And I have to profoundly disagree. Men, godly men, wrote beautiful hymns, and no doubt they were moved by the Spirit of God and given the gift and grace to do it, but it's something different to being inspired. Something that is inspired is something that is written directly by God, using a man to do it. When the apostle writes to his son Timothy in the faith, in the second epistle and the third chapter, he says to him, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now some would interpret that as meaning that the actual scriptures themselves, just in the bare letter of them, are able to make you wise unto salvation. But notice what it says. Are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith. And the scriptures declare plainly that faith is the gift of God. Faith is something that is given. It's a grace of the Spirit. We hear those speak of duty faith, but you know, my beloved friends, a grace is not a duty. Faith is a grace. It's given. And it's wrought in the heart by the Holy Ghost. And it's that faith in God's word, that faith in the triune Jehovah, what is revealed by the Spirit through the word. And we want to be clear on this point. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. It's a word of direction. And then he goes on, you see, and he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So, my beloved friends, it's something that we can absolutely depend on. It is the word of God. And if we find anything that is contrary to the word of God, then we must reject it. We must accept that the word of God is the book of truth. God has given it to us to direct us, to guide us. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. So all our doctrine, that is the truth that we believe, must be drawn from God's holy word. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Seek ye out the book of the Lord. Somebody wrote of John Bunyan, and if you read the works of John Bunyan, and he said, prick him anywhere, and he bleeds scripture. Whatever he brings forth, he'll give you a text to confirm why he believes what he has declared. So it's according to the holy scriptures of truth. You know, there's another remarkable word in the Apostle Peter, in the second epistle of Peter in chapter 1. He says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. That's what men today say. The scriptures are cunningly devised fables. They tell us that the book of Genesis can't be true, because the world has been here for millions and millions of years. But he says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. This is the book of God. God created the heavens and the earth. The scriptures declare it. In 6 days, God made heaven and earth and all that therein is. That's declared in God's holy word. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we read in scripture that he is the creator, that all things were created by him and for him, and without him was not anything made that was made. These are not cunningly devised fables. We're told that Noah's ark couldn't have happened. There's no way that the animals could have all got there. The word of God declares it, that God preserved man and beast in that ark, in a divinely way. He alone could do it, and to preserve life. They're not cunningly devised fables. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And then he speaks of that time when Peter, James and John were taken by the Lord Jesus up into the mount, and the Lord Jesus transfigured before them. He says these were not cunningly devised fables. He says here, for he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. So Peter and James and John, they heard directly the voice of the eternal Father speaking from heaven, saying, this is my beloved Son. Now he says a very remarkable thing here. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. And he's speaking of this blessed book. We have a more sure word of prophecy than even he had in hearing the voice of the eternal Father speak from heaven. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. You see, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. You see, my beloved friends, what an emphasis there is laid here. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, this blessed word. You know, that is what Latimer and Ridley, when they went to the stake in Oxford. Play the man, Master Ridley, for we shall write such a candle in England through God's word. They were preachers of the word. They suffered for the truth's sake, but they knew by faith they were lighting a candle in England that would never be put out. A light that shineth in a dark place. You know, one of the aspects of the Reformation in England was that it was almost unique to where, in like Germany, etc., in that it was directly wrought by the word of God. Henry VIII, an ungodly king, he ordered that a Bible was to be put in every parish church in England. So the word of God was right throughout the land. And it was read, and that light went forth, and the Spirit of God attended it. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. The other portion that I would like just to draw to your attention concerning the Word of God. Joshua was a most remarkable character in Scripture. I'm not saying he was sinless, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying. He was a man of like passions as you and I are, but he was a most godly man, and he's one of those few characters in Scripture that you never once read that the Lord reproved him. He was a most godly, faithful man. So godly, so faithful, that we read that the children of Israel continued to follow the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. That was the tremendous effect of that godly man upon the children of Israel. But, you know, we're told the secret of his godliness. Lord, he speaks to him in the first chapter of Joshua, be strong. He gives him a promise, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. That was the word of God that was extant at that time. That was the first five books of the five books of Moses, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper. And there's the secret of his prosperity, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. You see, the secret, my beloved friends, of Joshua's success was by grace he was enabled to keep faithful to God's word, keep faithful to the Lord. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. Oh, that the Lord would grant us that grace continually to read the word of God, to search the scriptures of truth, that we may be instructed in the way of righteousness and in the way of truth. And if there are those things that concern us, and then we need to commit our way unto the Lord and trust also in him, but also we need to search his word and to ask him to guide us and direct us through his word. Even as David, he said, let thy word be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. May we, my beloved friends, walk in this way, by the grace of God, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. I believe it's speaking here of the Lord's living family. Because in the scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, we read of a chosen people. A people that are wrought upon by the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Scriptures that we read that by nature we are dead in trespasses, that is spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins. And that is what the Scriptures teach us. We're dead in trespasses and in sins. And the dead know not anything. But we read of a people that are called by divine grace, who the Holy Spirit, who proceedeth forth from the Father and the Son, he enters into their hearts. We read of a people that were chosen by a gracious Father and given by that gracious Father to his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And he lived for this people that were chosen were the same as every one of the sinful sons and daughters of Adam, born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But the time comes when the Holy Spirit will quicken their soul into life, when the Holy Spirit will enter their heart, when the Holy Spirit will convince them of their sin, when the Holy Spirit will show them their lost condition and show them that Jesus is the way to God. He will give them faith. Faith. Christ is like a magnet to faith. It draws faith. So when that spirit of faith is given, it directs the poor sinner to Christ. It reveals Christ. That's the divine work of the Holy Spirit in the heart. Now, those persons are indeed quickened by the Spirit. And now we need to ask that question. Am I quickened by his Spirit? Live a life of faith and prayer. You know, my beloved friends, these things are very vital, very needful. It's not just a question of picking up religion and becoming religious and continuing in certain traditions. Ye must be born again. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And where a person is born again, they are given a living experience of the truth. They're taught the truth by the Spirit. These things, they are taught us in God's word, that the Father chose a people and he gave that people to his Son, Jesus Christ. And he, the eternal Son of the Father, the only begotten Son of the Father, he was made flesh. Beautiful in John 1, isn't it? And the word, that's a term that speaks of the divine nature of the Son of God. And the word was made flesh. and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And now we read in Isaiah that the eternal Father, because that glorious person, that divine person, the Son of God manifest in the flesh, he lived as a man here for 33 years. He lived a life that was holy and pure and righteous. It's a lovely expression. I think we quoted it in prayer. In Daniel, it says, until everlasting righteousness be brought in. And that's referring to Christ. He brought in an everlasting righteousness for his people. His people are all unrighteous. They all declare, I nothing am. But there's a righteousness in Christ that is received by faith. That's the perfect obedience of Christ as a man. As he lived here below, the holy God-man lived a perfect, holy, sinless life. And then he says, I lay down my life for my friends. He lay down that holy, sinless life. That life that he assumed in the womb of the Virgin, he laid it down. You know, we must say these things because this is divine truth. This is revealed to us in the holy word of God. See, the Son of God in his divine nature could never die. He could never die. It says in Scripture, God who cannot die. God, the Son of God in his divine nature, could never be tempted with evil. Because the Scriptures declare that God cannot be tempted of evil. But the Son of God, in that profound mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh, as he walked here as a man, he knew fierce temptations of Satan. He certainly did. And that holy human life that the Son of God assumed, that indissoluble union made between the divine and the human in the womb of the Virgin, he said, I lay down my life. That was the life he assumed in the womb of the Virgin. And on the cross of Calvary, we read that, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He commended his holy human soul into the hands of his heavenly Father, and he entered into death. The body without the spirit is dead, being alone. That's what Christ did, and he did it for his people. He redeemed them. Their sins were laid upon him. You know, my beloved friends, I do not believe that we give sufficient weight and credence to the infinite love of our gracious Father in the sending forth of his only begotten Son, and then in the taking of the sin of the church. He lifted the sin of the church from off them, and he laid it on his Son. He imputed it to his Son, as if it was his own sin. And then he takes the perfect obedience of Christ, and he lays that on the church. What an exchange. That's the gospel. That's the very meat and marrow of the gospel. That the sin of the church became Christ. And the perfect obedience of Christ became the churches. In Jeremiah, we read of Christ as being Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. That's what Christ is to his people. Our righteousness. See, and that sacred doctrine of imputation, my mind, it just goes to that beautiful word. I think it's in the second epistle to the Corinthians and chapter 5 and the last verse of that chapter. And we read, for he hath made him, that's the Father, hath made his Son Jesus Christ, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. He did no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. So he was made sin for us, that we might be made righteous in him. That is the meat and marrow of the gospel of Jesus Christ. it is. When he suffered and bled and died on the cross of Calvary, he was suffering and bleeding and dying for the sins of his people, because his Father had laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And then we read in Zechariah that beautiful scripture, and it's the Father that is speaking. Awake, O sword, that's the sword of divine justice that should have swept the whole election of grace to eternal perdition. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and the man that is my fellow, the glorious holy God-man, the fellow of the Father. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and the man that is my fellow. And so we read in Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And when he lay down his life, it was for his church, his people. He died for them. He died for them. He died for their sins. The wages of sin is death. He died for the sins of his people. And he died to rise again for his people. And he says, because I live, you shall live also. And then he bodily ascended into heaven. We read in Luke chapter 24, he led them out as far as unto Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them and was received up into heaven. And they saw Christ bodily ascend into heaven. And as the scriptures declare, he now sitteth at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, a glorious Saviour, a Saviour who has redeemed his people, who has saved them from their sins, delivered them from their sin. Now this is the persons in the text. You seek ye out the book of the Lord and read, no one of these shall fail. Not a who shall be left behind. Once in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. They are eternally secure in Christ. And every one of them will reach heaven. They will. No one of these shall fail. None shall want homemade. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. You see, my beloved friends, the Spirit of truth gathers this people, and he gathers them unto Christ, as we read in Holy Scripture, unto him. That's Christ. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And the divine spirit will gather the church. Now, there are some beautiful illustrations of this in Holy Scripture. Of the Lord's people that will be gathered unto Christ. When Adam, the Lord had created him, the Lord in a most miraculous way caused all the animals to come to Adam, and he named every single one of them. He gathered all the animals unto Adam, and he named every single one of them. When Noah, when the great terrible flood, the judgment of God was to come upon the earth, and the Lord commanded Noah to build an ark, we read that the animals came two by two to the ark. They were gathered by God in a most divine, miraculous way. They all gathered, they all walked into the ark, two by two. That was the Lord's doing. We read in Scripture, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvellous in our eyes. You know, they are very faint resemblances what the Lord will do for his people. Not one of them will fail. Not one soul of whom Christ has died will be lost. The Holy Spirit, that glorious third person in the Blessed Trinity, who proceedeth forth from the Father and the Son, he will enter into the heart of each and every one of them. It will quicken their soul. It will convince them of their sin. Now, there's illustrations of this in Holy Scripture. There are those that were called in young years. You think of John, the Apostle John. It is believed that he was probably round about 16 years old when he was called to be a disciple when Christ was here on earth. He lived to be 90 years. And then we have an illustration in the dying thief who lived a wicked, sinful life and suffered for it. And there in his dying hours, the Lord Jesus called him by divine grace. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he answered him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You see, my beloved friends, the work of the divine spirit, sovereign work. Some in very young years, some in the closing stages of life journey. There's a very well-known record of a man that was brought up under the truth. And I think if I remember rightly, he was in this country, emigrated to America. And when he was 100 years old, the Lord called him by divine grace and brought to remembrance the things that he'd been taught as a child. And he was wonderfully called by divine grace. See, not one of these shall fail. Every soul for whom Jesus Christ suffered, bled and died, every one will reach heaven. You know, that is so beautifully opened up to us in that sacred prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel. And there, you know, the Lord Jesus, he says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. That they may be with me. That's the divine will of God. And that divine will of God will be performed. Not one of these shall fail. Every one shall reach heaven. This is the glorious firm foundation, my beloved friends, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want to make. For my mouth hath commanded it, and his spirit it hath gathered them. And he hath cast the lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it. You know, I love the clear statements of divine truth. No ambiguity is there. They may possess it, they could possess it. They possibly could. No, my beloved friends, they shall possess it. It's a divine certainty. Not one of them shall fail. For whom Christ died, and the Spirit of God enters into their heart, quickens their soul into life, he will preserve and keep them through life's journey. The Apostle Peter, he solemnly denied his Lord and Master on the night that he was crucified. He denied him with oaths and with curses. He did. But he could write feelingly, couldn't he? He's warned by Christ. He said that he would deny him thrice. He warned him. Peter was such a strong man. And Lord, I will never deny thee. I will go with thee even unto death. And hours later, put to the test, he denied his Lord and Master with oaths and with curses. But Christ had said to him, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. When you've come through that trial, when I've restored you, that's what it means, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And it's Peter that writes in his first epistle, kept. He knew it by experience, kept. By the power of God, through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last day. That's the, each one of the Lord's living family will be kept by the power of God. We read in the closing verses of the Epistle of Jude, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." Maybe that's a deep temptation that you're struggling under. That you're going to fall, you're going to fail. "Now unto him that is able to keep you." You can never keep ourselves. We have a wicked, sinful, corrupt heart. And we prove more and more as the older we get, we prove how corrupt we are. We prove the truth of that word more and more. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and it is. "Now unto him that is able," the glorious person of Jesus Christ, my beloved friends, is able. He's an able Saviour. He's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Faultless. Why? Because he's washed you in his precious blood and he's clothed you with that everlasting robe of his righteousness. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. You can read this in the Word of God. What I'm bringing forth to you tonight, you can read it in God's holy Word. It's clearly stated. "No one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit hath gathered them. He hath cast the lot for them, his hand hath divided it unto them. By line they shall possess it forever. From generation to generation shall they dwell therein." A place, my beloved friends, of eternal safety, of everlasting security for the Lord's living place. Now, he speaks here as it goes on with these precious promises. The wilderness, that's this world. When a person is born again of the Spirit, this world becomes a wilderness. Where no water is, where you cannot, there's nothing here that can sustain you. "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose." These are the blessings that the Lord pours upon his Zion. It shall. Notice it's in the future tense. It shall blossom abundantly. When I visited Israel in 1994, and we went to on a army vehicle down through the Judean wilderness, very rough tracks and a very arid wilderness. But what was so remarkable, as we were driving into the wilderness south of Jerusalem, there was a beautiful sheen of green grass, and everywhere the most beautiful bright flowers, bright red flowers. It was lovely. It was like a carpet right across what was a barren landscape. And the Israeli guide, she said to us, she said, you're witnessing something very remarkable. She said, 2 days ago, this place was an absolute arid desert. But she said, yesterday we had a shower of rain. And literally, the whole of it. And she said, if you come back in 2 days' time, it'll all be back completely arid. And you know, as she was saying it, this word came so beautifully on my spirit. "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing." You see, when the Lord pours his spirit, and the spirit is likened unto water, to rain, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the dwelling places of the Most High. Now the church of God is in the wilderness. It's in this world. It's in this world. And the Spirit of God keeps alive the church of God. I was reading recently, is estimated to be in China, which is a very hostile country to the grace of God and to the word of God and to the people of God. It's estimated that in China at this time, there are approximately 80 million Protestants. Churches that are thriving. House churches mainly, because they're so persecuted. See, the Lord, he will feed his people in the most hostile places. It shall blossom abundantly. Look how the Lord has maintained the church in this nation. Now here, we are given a promise to Zion, to the church of God. It shall rejoice with joy and singing when the glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. So he says with these precious words of grace, he's speaking to the church of God, to the people of God. And you know, my beloved friends, how we need an outpouring of the Spirit. If there was an outpouring of the Spirit on the ministry of the word in the church of God, it would blossom abundantly. It's like a desert at this time, isn't it? And so he says here, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Sometimes we look around and we see how the spirit of Antichrist is so prevalent, and we wonder where the scene will end and whatever we're going to do. My beloved friends, there's a God in heaven, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. That never changes and it never will change. The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken. He says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come. We know that in what you might say, the primary meaning of that word, behold, your God will come, was the coming of Christ on earth. And the bringing in of everlasting righteousness and the offering of that glorious sacrifice that redeemed the church. But also today, my beloved friends, he will come again. Be strong. See, he will come and save you. And what will happen when he comes? Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, just as it was when Christ was on earth. And when the Spirit is poured out, and there'll be an ingathering, and the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness, this is in the wilderness, shall waters break out and streams in the desert. When the children of Israel were in the midst of that arid wilderness, on that wilderness journey, and the Lord, and they cried out because they had no water to drink. And the Lord said to Moses, and you shall stand upon the rock and smite the rock. There in the midst of that arid wilderness, he smote the rock. That rock is Christ. Christ was smitten for his people. And what happened? The waters gushed out, and that whole company of the children of Israel drank of those living waters from the rock. You see, these things, they're examples to us, my beloved friends. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and thirsty land springs of water. In the habitations of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there. What is that highway? I am the way, the truth and the life, said Jesus Christ. And a highway shall be there. A door of hope is opened wide in Jesus' bleeding hands and side, and there is none other hand name that is given under heaven whereby ye must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. You see, and then he goes on here in the last verse, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return. What a promise, isn't it? No ifs, no buts, no maybes. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and with everlasting joy. Upon their heads they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Shall flee away. And just briefly, because the time is gone, but you know, my mind was much drawn to the book of Daniel. Yesterday, as I was seeking the mind of the Lord for this service. And there in the book of Daniel, he has a vision in the second chapter, right to the end of time, that Nebuchadnezzar's dream and how he interpreted it. But in verse 44, he says this, and he's speaking of the kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. He says, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom." This is the kingdom of Christ. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's an eternal kingdom. "The God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." And then Daniel had another vision in the seventh chapter of the book of Daniel. And he says there, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man," that's Christ, "came and with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." And it goes on in the latter part of that chapter, and it speaks of the great last great man of sin. And then he says in the verse 27, "And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him." May the Lord add his blessing.
God willing, Mr. Richard Field will preach next Lord's Day. There will be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Timothy Rosier will preach on Wednesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 631. "The Lord himself be with you all, to teach you his own will, and guide you safe from every thrall, to Zion's heavenly hill." In 631.
And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to grant you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.